Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
This week in the Senate, we are back to consider the possibility of a bailout for the troubled auto industry. Yesterday, Democrats sent to the White House a $15 billion plan that could come up for a vote later this week. While I'm still looking at the specific details, which we got last night, of the bill, I will say, as I did a few weeks ago, that I have concerns about simply throwing money at the problem that was in large part created by the auto industry manufacturers themselves over the last 20 years. Simply throwing money at the problem is not a serious solution. If something is going to be done, it also must address the current problem facing the industry, which is a lack of funding for auto loans. More importantly, any proposal must address the long-term viability of the domestic manufacturing, auto manufacturing business. Even when the current economic climate passes, these companies cannot survive at their current size and cost structure. At their current spending rate, any money we throw at them will only last probably until the end of January, at best. To me, that says that major changes are needed if federal dollars are to be made available. I believe that in order for the U.S. auto industry to thrive again, the Big Three must get serious about making painful changes. They need to reduce capacity, shrink the dealer network ships, eliminate some brands, and mainly produce cars that Americans want to buy. Chapter 11 bankruptcy restructuring may be necessary. That approach would allow the necessary changes to be made much more quickly than under ordinary circumstances and with no political involvements, like a auto czar designating who are the winners and who are the losers, while permitting the companies to stay open for business. You all remember Delta Airlines and them coming out of bankruptcy better than they went in, and much more tightly structured. And now that the gasoline prices have come down, or the aviation fuel prices have come down, they're going, in my opinion, to show a profit starting in January of this coming year. Because companies emerge from Chapter 11 restructuring needing financing to implement the new business plan, and the credit markets are still frozen as a result of the current economic problems related to the housing bubble, the government may need to provide loan guarantees so that the companies can get private financing and also guarantee the warranties of the cars that have been sold. That's a very important part. And because successful bankruptcy restructuring means that paychecks would continue for workers, continue, I said, dealers would have cars to sell, and suppliers would still get paid. I could support those federal loan guarantees so long as the restructuring puts the companies on the path to long-term stability and the taxpayers are protected. To me, that's much more serious proposal than just throwing money as the Democrat proposal that I received last night does. I am very concerned about the state of the auto industry, particularly the workers and their families in Kentucky. Many of those families and communities are living in fear right now. No matter what we do, some of those jobs are going to go away for at least the short term. We owe it to them to discuss serious proposals that will lead to long-term stability in the auto industry and make the auto workers and related industries that supply the auto industries in Kentucky in a better position to deal with after they come through Chapter 11. Now I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have.
Senator, this is Dan.
Dan Modlin of Bowling Green. You referred to the CARZAR proposal. There's a lot of talk about that. Could you expand a little bit about your position on that, why you didn't seem too enthused about that idea?
Would you repeat the question? Your question didn't come through my earphones.
Yes, sir. The CARZAR that you referred to, could you expand a little bit on your position on that? There's a lot of talk about possibly creating such a position, and judging from your tone of voice, I felt that perhaps you weren't too positive about that. Could you just expand a little bit on
what
your position is? Yes,
it would become a political position, and they would pick winners and losers, just like Henry Paulson has done with the financial bailout of the financial industry. He's picked winners and losers. I think that is totally and completely unfair. If Chapter 11 is chosen, it will be done by the bankruptcy courts, and there will be no politics involved. And I think that's very important if we're going to do this fairly and justly, and all the auto industry is treated the same.
Thank you.
This is Jim Carroll.
Yeah, Jim.
How you doing? You're basically opposed to the package that was sent over to the White House for its review. Are you opposed under any circumstances to federal aid in the form of loans or anything to the auto
industry? No, and my God, what did I just – I went through chapter and verse for you.
I understand, but it sounded like your bottom line is bankruptcy is the way to go, is what you're –
Well, it is, and if they can come up with a better idea, I'm open to listen to that. But I don't know of – I brought out Delta Airlines to specifically show you what can happen to a company that is – over the last 5 years, 6 years, 7 years, auto industry is 20 years, but has had mismanagement, and now they're coming to the federal government. You know, I want to say this as kindly as I can, because I haven't said anything negative about George W. Bush's appointments, and boy, I have disagreed with a lot of them, and I haven't said anything about his socializing most of the businesses, particularly the financial industry, and his Secretary of Treasury and his buddies on Wall Street, and Ben Bernanke and his buddies in the Federal Reserve and their expansion. I have never criticized it. But if this plan, as proposed, goes through, George Bush will then become the Jacques Chirac of the United States of America. And he will be socializing most of our key industries. And this is just the beginning. So you can bet when President Obama takes over, there will be a huge expansion of this. And they're already talking right now of a $750,000, you can tell I came from the state senate, $750 billion stimulus package, which will include another $350 billion for the autos. So they don't expect this package to solve the problem. So, Jim, yeah, I'm a little leery of a czar, because I think the czar is the one who picks and chooses winners, and I don't think this is a time. And I'll tell you, the people in Bowling Green, and I talked with them yesterday, they don't want a czar. They just want to make sure that there's a job waiting somewhere, that the Corvette plant can stay open. It's been open down there for 20 plus years. The people in Louisville at the Ford plant, they want to have a job. And if it takes Chapter 11 and they come out of Chapter 11 and they're still a Ford Motor Company viable, they can have a job and all the benefits, their pension benefits will be guaranteed by the Pension Guaranteed Trust Corporation. Now they have to renegotiate their health care benefits, and obviously the salary structure of the UAW members, to get it more in line with other producers that are making money, or at least not losing money as rapidly as the big three.
One of the arguments that the auto companies make, Senator, against Chapter 11 is that unlike Delta Airlines, where you know what a consumer might have on the line is a round trip ticket somewhere. You're talking about the second largest purchase most people make next to a house is an automobile. People aren't going to buy cars from a company that's bankrupt.
Oh, that's bull.
That's what they're saying.
But what happens if the federal government comes in and guarantees all of the service and all of the warranties of the car? What if that's part of the deal?
Yeah.
Now, I think that should be part of the deal. If we're going to do it and help them through bankruptcy, we should guarantee their warranties. You know, Jim, that they're going to have to reduce the amount of dealers that they have if they're going to survive. I mean, long-term viability. Because, I mean, they're geared to sell 18 million cars a year. They're going to sell 10 million this year. So what does that say? You're not answering.
I thought you were asking a rhetorical question. Well, obviously, they're making too many cars.
No, making too many cars. They've got too many dealers to sell the cars. And they're also paying $70 an hour plus to the auto worker. Now, if you can't sell the car to pay the pension benefits, the health care benefits, and the auto worker, what's the alternative? What do we do? We're not going to just give the money to last till the end of January. There's other people other than me that have already said they're going to filibuster the bill, and I listened to John Ensign, and he's going to hold the bill. And I listened to Richard Shelby, who's the chairman of our banking committee. He's already committed to filibustering the bill as he's seen, as the one we have seen as of last night. And so I'm just a voice crying in the wilderness, I guess.
Senator Bunny.
We're saying that Shelby is going to has an interest because his manufacturers in his district and his state are from overseas. So.
Well, I have 9,000 employees in Georgetown, Kentucky, don't I? That are non-union UAW members, and they don't want the bankruptcy, or they don't want this bailout at all. And they have how many suppliers in Kentucky? Toyota. How many jobs do you think Toyota accounts for besides the 9,000 they have in Georgetown? In Kentucky.
Multiply by about 3, right?
Huh? Yeah, multiply it by about 27,000. You're about almost exactly right. So we're talking about 27,000 extra jobs plus the 9. We're talking about 36,000 jobs that Toyota is accountable for in Kentucky. So, you know, I am definitely want to do something that will be structurally sound and will get the auto industry on a financially sound footing. And the Democrat proposal does not do that, and it was not even we weren't even consulted on it. They didn't even consult Richard Shelby. They didn't even consult anybody. They've been negotiating with the White House. Well, as I said, if George W. signs on this bill, then he doesn't care about free enterprise and all the things that go along with our system as we know it. He will put us 25 years ago in France.
Senator Lee Bramlin in Elizabethtown. Good morning, sir. I want to go back to the point you made a moment ago about the filibusters. The bottom line question, I guess, out of this, are there 40 votes out there, 40-plus votes out there to block this thing or to converse around? Is there 60-plus to pass it in the Senate? Because you figure
I don't know the answer to that, but obviously we may find that out. Yeah, we may find out. I don't know the answer to that. I don't think anybody does.
Senator Bunning, this is Mackenzie Bates at Morehead State Public Radio. How are you?
Morehead State. Where is my friend?
He's actually on the air right now with Moorhead's mayor.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Nah, it's okay. Actually, I have two questions for you. The first one is, you had talked about the stimulus package that President-elect Obama had. Are you against the stimulus package? And if not,
well,
do you see it benefiting
Kentucky?
Well, first
of all, I want to see the details of the stimulus package. The last stimulus package was barely adequate and got right to the taxpayer. I surely don't want to do a public work stimulus package that takes 2 years to kick in. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
Because if we do that, we are not helping the economy. We should reduce corporate income taxes and allow that money to go back into the economy. That would help a heck of a lot more than a $750 billion stimulus package that takes 2 years to kick in. What do we do for the next 2 years? How many programs can you get up and running in Kentucky as far as public works are concerned? If they want to give it to me for the Brent Spence Bridge and the two Louisville bridges, I'll take it. But that's a 10-year program for all three of those bridges. You know, I mean, give me a break. We have to put money into this economy, into the consumers' hands, and not into other programs that will take a delayed effect on the economy. And your second question?
This is actually a little bit off topic. I was listening to the World Cafe and listening to David Dye, and he had mentioned that...
You were listening to what?
One of the programs called World Cafe, and they had mentioned that, you know, you're one of 12 pitchers to throw a perfect game. And Harvey Haddix and his game where he pitched 12 perfect innings but did not get counted as a perfect game because
yes,
game lost.
I know. I saw the... Saw the tapes of that game many times.
Right. His wife is leading a campaign to get him back into the record books, and I wanted to see if...
I would support that, because anybody that pitches a perfect game for 11 innings, my God. I mean, he'd have walked off the field after seven innings now. I mean, he's still out there trying in the 12th inning, and The perfect game was broken up by a third baseman error, a missed throw by Don Hoke.
So you would be in favor of it?
I would be.
All right. Thank you, Senator.
You're welcome.
When do you think there might be some action on the Senate floor?
Probably tomorrow. They're going to start. They don't have an agreement with the White House. Because the details of the plan have not been approved by the White House. But I can tell you this, if the White House approves this plan, that will not change one Republican senator's mind or one senator who is presently opposed to the plan as written. Because I hate to tell you this, but unless you didn't know it, Jim, the President of the United States has no political clout, zero, with the Congress of the United States.
I made a reference to that in my column on Sunday.
Did you? I missed your column Sunday.
Sorry.
Anybody else? Hey, by the way, I have to bring this up. For you folks near Lexington, my granddaughter just beat your butt. Lexington Catholic came up and played Fort Thomas Highlands and went home a six-point loser. And they were ranked seventh in the state. And my Fort Thomas Highlands, with my granddaughter playing center and a lot of other good players on that team, beat them by six. I was so excited Saturday, I didn't care what was going on. Yeah, it was fun. Yeah, it's nothing like watching your grandkids do well.
Does this qualify them for a regional or?
It doesn't qualify them. That was their second game of the year, so they're 2-0 in basketball. Fort Thomas Highlands football team is going to be playing for the state championship, I think.
Senator, this is Ronnie Ellis. Did all your grandchildren inherit your competitive nature?
Some did, and some children did, but some didn't. I can tell you this, that this young lady did, and her two brothers that participate in, well, one's at Transylvania participating in baseball. The other is participating in Highlands, Fort Thomas Highlands football as a freshman. He is a freshman, 14 years old, 6'2 and a half, 175 pounds. How big you think he's going to be when he gets to be a junior and senior? Yeah, he's those three are really competitive. We've had my oldest or my youngest son, our second youngest son, Mark, played baseball at the University of Kentucky. So I've had and my oldest son played football at Indiana University. So I've got some that inherited some of my competitive genes and some who didn't.
Well, speaking of which, nothing over the holidays and time with your family has dissuaded you in your determination to seek re-election, has it?
Cut it out. Well, you guys, how many times do I have to tell you? Listen.
Just once more.
You know, one more time. Okay, I'll tell you one more time.
I'll only ask once more.
Well, I just formed what is known as a steering committee. You know what a steering committee is?
Yes, sir.
It's a group of people you get together that commit to raising certain amounts of money. I did that up here, and I'm doing it in Kentucky right now. Do you guys realize that I did not raise money in Kentucky during the governor's race, and I did not raise money in Kentucky during Mitch's race and helped I don't know how many senators with money out of my account, and even helped state senators. And David Williams, you asked David Williams about it. Out of my, you can put it into the federal account in Kentucky, and so I'm not concerned about that. I think we'll. In fact, I went to the White House ball last night, and people coming up and saying, Jim, just call. And they know how important it is to have a solid conservative voice in the U.S. Senate, and I intend to be that conservative. And there are others, but I'm going to be one.
Do you, have a preferred Democratic opponent?
My God, it'll be fun to watch the other side. Come on, you know that Mangiardo's going to run. You know that the Attorney General's going to run. You probably know that Bruce Lunsford may run again. 0-for-4 ain't bad. 1-for-4 is 250. 0-for-4 is zero. 25 million, give or take a. It may be more than that he spent in his first three races. But, Mangiardo is also a millionaire. And the only one I don't know about is Jack Conway. And I expect him to announce within the next 2 weeks. I've expected it for the last 10 days. But somewhere along, he and Crit got together and decided that it would be better if Jack filed rather than Crit, because Crit's got a history of fighting cancer, and I don't think she really wants to get into a statewide race again in a tough race. There's plenty of people who would like to take me on. When you win by 49.8 and 50.7, everybody wants to take you on. But remember, the first and second district have changed their stripes. That was the Gibraltar of the Democrat vote, and now it is the Gibraltar of the Republican vote. That in my 4th district, which I only get 68% or 65% out of. It's tough to overcome Jefferson County and Fayette County, but we do the best we can. Even Mitch had that problem.
it's okay if we refer to you as Landslide Bunning?
You can refer to me any way you want. Just call me a winner. Doesn't count how big you win. It just counts if you win. Isn't that right? I think that's right. I think that right now they're trying to steal one up in Minnesota, and they can't. They just can't get that other guy ahead, no matter how long they count. Franken just can't get ahead. So they're going to try to steal it, bring it to the Senate, and if we don't walk out permanently until they seat Norman Coleman, then I will walk out myself. We're going to have a meeting about that today, by the way. What to do if, in fact, Norman Coleman is declared the winner by the Secretary of State in Minneapolis or Minnesota, and Harry Reid decides not to seat him. Yeah, we're going to have a conference about that today. So we got a lot on our plate for a short period of time up here. I'm missing 3 basketball games. It's killing me. My granddaughter's got 3 this week. Any other questions? I'm having fun. I never felt better in my life. Hey, by the way, I'm 2 pounds over my pitching weight.
What's your secret?
A little pill called Lasix. It takes the water, the excess liquids, out of your body. And I was on a water pill, and they switched to me to Lasix. And it's been just an unbelievable godsend for me. I'm not kidding you. If I could still throw, I'd go sign a 2-year contract and go on the disabled list. You know, like a lot of the other guys do. You know, collect $4 million.
You work out?
I work out. You bet I work out. And I walk in. Are you kidding? Would you like to test me?
No, not at all. I'm just wondering, just looking for your secret of keeping the weight off.
Well, I'm going to tell you, if you have a good physician that you see regularly, you ask him about your liquids that you carry with your body. I made a trip, I don't know whether you guys know it or not, to 5 cities in Europe, and it was a 14-hour flight to Istanbul, and going over, my ankles started to swell. And coming back, it was a 9.5-hour flight from London. Well, we did stop in Shannon, Ireland on the way over, but we didn't stop from London. And by the time I got home, my ankles were really swollen, so I became concerned. And I went and saw my physician. He said, that's just extra water, extra liquids on your legs. And, you know, he said, we'll put you on a different water pill. And honest to God, it was like a miracle. So if you're a little porky, Jim, I suggest that you go see your physician and get a water pill, and maybe it'll help you.
I'm carrying around a lot of extra solid, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet you are. Hey, how's the Gannett folks? Are they like the Tribune folks?
Well, we're not declaring bankruptcy, but we've had cuts.
I just can't believe that the legitimate press in this country has been undermined so bad by the bloggers.
Well, it's that and the whole, you know, the internet, everything. There's a whole change in the industry.
Well, I know. I can go online and read the Maysville Ledger online without buying the Maysville Ledger, which is just madness. I mean, aren't you self-destructing?
Well, there's a big debate about that in our industry, as you can imagine.
Okay.
How much should be free, and how do you make money off the internet, and where the
Well, the internet's free, but buying the courier is not free.
Right. The advertising figures into it all.
Yeah, I know, and they're not putting their names in your paper because of that, because it can get the news online rather than buy the paper. And that's why no advertisers are putting their ads in your paper.
Senator, I mean, you're not beginning to think you'll miss us when we're gone, are you?
No, I wouldn't think about that, because you're not going to be gone before my unfortunate death. Some of you might be.
Let's hope both of those are way off in the distant future.
They are.
Knock on wood.
Well, praise God. You can't do anything about it one way or the other. Anybody else got any really good questions? Come on. Okay. Well, if you all have a very happy holidays and a Merry Christmas, and we'll see you back here when we walk Senator McConnell down the aisle on the 6th of January.
Thanks, Senator.
Okay, thank you.